It's a bit of a conventional wisdom that people who lose one sense develop extraordinary sensitivity in their others. So, for example, blind people develop extra sensitive hearing or a superior sense of touch. But in fact, the scientific evidence to support enhanced abilities like this is not really that solid. That's why new work by Dr. Daniel Goldreich, a neuroscientist from McMaster University, is so intriguing. Dr. Goldreich has been working with blind people to try to understand if, in fact, their sense of touch is enhanced. And he's found that while it's not clear if blind people can feel better than the sighted, it looks like they feel faster. Now the trick is to figure out why. Dr. Goldreich, welcome to Quirks and Quarks.
Thank you.
Okay, first of all, is there good scientific evidence to suggest that blind people might develop enhanced other senses?
There is now, although it wasn't quite clear at all. About 10 years ago, I think the literature was quite controversial. But with modern testing techniques, I think the weight of the evidence now is fairly firmly supporting enhanced acuity in other senses. But we have to be careful about what we mean by the acuity being enhanced. So there are subtleties there.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, for example, in the study that we just did, we found that blind people were not more sensitive than sighted people. And their ability to feel a small tap on the finger did not differ from that of sighted people. What differed was the speed of perception. And so I think in general, what's coming out of many studies is that on very simple sensitivity tests, how small a tap can you feel, how small a sound can you feel, issues like that, probably blind and sighted people don't differ very much. Hmm. It's on more complex tasks that require sort of higher or faster processing.
Is there any evidence that there's a change in brain patterns in blind people?
Yes, there is. And so one of the interests that I have in starting out on this line of research is that in blind people in particular, congenitally blind people, it appears that the occipital lobe of the brain, which is normally the visual area of the brain, gets essentially taken over by touch and hearing. And so the interest of neuroscientists in this area is largely whether that greater number of neurons then devoted to touch results in an enhanced sense of touch in blind people.
And when you say congenitally blind, that means blind from birth?
That's right.
Okay. Well, tell me about your particular study. What did you do?
Okay. So what we did is we had a square centimeter in diameter circular glass probe that could bounce up and down on the person's fingertip. And we had people just put their index finger onto this probe. And we tested their ability to do a number of things. One is to just feel very small taps. And there we found that blind and sighted people showed no difference. Everyone is actually quite sensitive at that and could detect about 10 micron taps. So 10 thousandths of a millimeter taps, quite impressive.
Oh, that's how little the thing was moving.
That's right. So it moved 10 microns at the sort of threshold level for people to detect roughly. And it was also true that the blind and sighted people could equally well distinguish one tap from another. So if we gave them, for example, a 10 micron tap and compared to a 20 micron tap, they were equally good at detecting the difference. But what we found is that the blind people on more complicated tests designed to assess the speed with which their brains actually create a perception were more rapid than the sighted people, and particularly the congenitally blind people.
Now, what do you mean by that? The brains created the perception?
So when we're tapped on the finger, it's really quite remarkable what happens. Our nervous systems are remarkably well adapted to detect physical stimuli, whether through touch, sight, sound, and so on. And so electrical impulses are created in the nervous system. The sensory organ transforms the physical stimulus into a pattern of electrical impulses. And these impulses travel up to the brain. And when they get to the brain, this is a sort of Morse code where the pattern of impulses represents somehow what caused them, the stimulus. But the brain has to decode. And it takes a little time to do that decoding or that to try to reconstruct what happened in the world to create that pattern of impulses. And we did an experiment that was designed to determine how rapidly the brain can decode.
So it's sort of like looking at processing speed in a computer.
That's right. Essentially, okay. The CPU speed.
Okay. So what was the test?
Well, what the test was is we presented the same small taps that we presented in the previous experiments. But here we followed a small tap a fraction of a second later. So, for example, a tenth or a 20th of a second later by a much longer and larger vibration. And it turns out that this longer-lasting large vibration essentially cuts off the brain's ability to continue processing the tap so that the electrical impulses that rise up to the brain get swamped out by this larger group of impulses arising in response to the big vibration. And the brain essentially loses the ability to continue processing the tap to create a perception of the initial tap.
It's kind of masking it.
That's right. So this is actually called backward masking because it's backward in time. The vibration comes after the tap, but it interferes with your ability to feel the tap if it's close enough in time.
Okay.
We were able to use this backward masking as a tool to essentially cut off the brain's ability to feel the tap at different times following the tap, to cut off the ability of the brain to process the tap perceptually. And we found that if we could extend the time period until there was no longer any interference caused by the vibration, we concluded that that was the time it would take the brain to really – it was taking the brain to fully process the tap into a perception. And we found that that time was shorter for the congenitally blind people than for the sighted people or for people who became blind later in life.
So they were processing the information faster in their brain.
That's right.
The sensation.
Right.
Than the sighted people.
Right.
How much faster?
Well, they're at about 70% the time.
Wow.
So, for example, a typical congenitally blind Braille reader in our study processed the tap in about 90 milliseconds. And a typical sighted person took about 130 milliseconds.
Wow, that's a significant difference.
Yeah.
Now was there a difference also amongst blind people? Like, for example, you say congenitally blind who were born that way,
right,
and people who were more recently blind.
That's right. Yeah. So it was only the congenitally blind people that really significantly outperformed the sighted people. But people who became blind in adulthood performed equivalently to sighted people. And not only that, we also found that, and this was perhaps the most surprising part to us, is that the speed with which an individual person who is congenitally blind processes the tap correlates very nicely with the speed with which that person reads Braille. So even among the blind participants, those who had quicker processing times were able to read Braille more rapidly.
Oh, I see. Well, that makes sense because you're going from one letter to the next to the next to the next in sequence, one after another. There's a time factor there.
That's right. So we think but what wasn't clear before is what was responsible for that time factor. Now we do think, as you say, that it was actually due to the processing time. So other possibilities were, for example, that some people read more slowly just because they weren't comfortable moving their hand as fast, or that they read more slowly because it takes them time to actually capture the sort of meaning, the semantics of what they were reading. But we think actually now that it has to do with a sort of fundamental sensory processing time.
You sure it's not just practice?
Well, it could be practice. And so it's a little difficult for us to distinguish the practice issues here from the what we think is the brain plasticity issues that are driving this. But it's probably not practice because there are other studies that show that blind people are also, congenitally blind people in particular, faster at perceiving auditory stimuli. So we think that this is sort of a global increase in processing speed for non-visual senses.
Okay. So this enhanced ability to process faster, are you convinced that this is actual change in brain patterns or something else? Right?
Well, science is full of uncertainty, and we're never really convinced of anything. That's one of the joys of doing science, is that we have to recognize the limits of our own knowledge. But I think the weight of the evidence now is favoring that this is due to some sort of change in the brain, some sort of plasticity, such as the takeover, if you will, of the what would normally be the visual areas of the brain by touch.
Fascinating stuff. Dr. Goldreich, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dr. Daniel Goldreich is in the Department of Psychology, Neuroscience, and Behavior at McMaster University in Hamilton. Coming up, an ultrasonic arms race.